Hey, this is Thomas Q. Jones, former UVA All-American running back, and you're listening to The Jerry Ratcliffe Show. Wahoo wah.
Welcome to the podcast. I am Chris Graham, and I'm joined here by Jerry Ratcliffe. This is The Jerry Ratcliffe Show, so I get to be interviewer for a good bit of this show. Good role for me to be in. I've done this once or twice before. Jerry, welcome to your own show here on this Wednesday evening as we're talking.
Thanks, Chris. It's been a rather tumultuous day surrounding Virginia's football coaching search.
We are in day seven I guess this is the seventh day anyway, since Bronco Mendenhall stepped down. It feels like I've aged about 5 years in this last week. I'm sure maybe for you too, Jerry. Maybe we're coming to a conclusion. I'll start with that part of it first. I'll say it. As we're talking right now, a few minutes before 7 o'clock Wednesday night, what we know is that Tony Elliott is in Charlottesville. We presume that that means he's interviewing maybe for a second time, maybe for a first time, whatever the case may be. He and his family in tow. We've all seen the videos on Twitter from Damon Dillman and Jackie Franquili as far as them getting off the plane. So we know that's the case. They're here. The reports are that, obviously if he's here with his family and a lot of luggage, we all saw the luggage, that Tony Elliott is probably close to being named the head coach of Virginia. Maybe we'll hear of some official word on that tonight, maybe tomorrow. We'll talk about that later on, Jerry. We're going to talk about how we got here and, how did we get here, Jerry? What happened? I'm sure that's why people are tuning into the podcast. What happened with the Anthony Poindexter part of this story?
It's a really good question, Chris. All we know, I have some pretty impeccable sources, and heading out to Las Vegas Sunday, Carla Williams to meet Poindexter on Monday. He was there. He was flying out there to be inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame Tuesday night, which we watched. Was a really cool thing to see Poindexter be honored that way for his career at Virginia. Something blew up Monday night. We were told by sources that it was a done deal. It was a green light. It was a go. All they had to do was talk about a couple of spots and I guess sign the papers, but something happened Monday night out there. I don't know if we'll ever find out why, but we are digging. I know I have talked to a couple of people who have talked to Poindexter, and some of the things they said, assuming that they're true, and there's no reason they wouldn't be. These are very legitimate people. If what I hear is true, then it's enough. I think it would make any coaching candidate walk away. If there are certain things he asked for and didn't get. And apparently that's what caused him to walk away from the process, which I know had to be a very difficult thing for him, because I don't think anybody loves UVA any more than Anthony Poindexter. His heart and soul is here in Charlottesville. I'm sure he would have loved to have come back and been the head coach and try to take this program to where it hasn't been since his playing days here, really. You can't question his heart or anything like that. I know for a fact that back when Virginia and Purdue played in the Elite Eight out in Louisville, in basketball in 2019, heading to the Final Four and National Championship. And Anthony was a coach on the Purdue football staff and loyal to Purdue, as he should have been. When he and his family sat down to watch the Virginia-Purdue basketball game that night, they were all wearing orange and blue. They weren't wearing black and gold. So I know he wanted to be back here, but there are certain things that coaches want so they can be assured that they can put together a winning program. And if you can't get them, then, you know, most coaches are going to say no and walk away. I've heard all kinds of rumors. I don't like to repeat rumors. One of them is that Anthony asked for some academic exceptions. That doesn't sound right to me. He knows how things work here. He knows that they've won here before without academic concessions. And I don't believe that rumor. I have heard the rumor that there were some concerns over staffing, possible or not possible, but putting together a staff. And I know for a fact that they were on the phone Monday night talking to some big names in terms of offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator. I don't know how those discussions went. I wasn't privy to them at all. Don't know what was said or who they called, but I do know that they were talking to some big name people Monday night to join the staff. And I don't know beyond that. I heard there were some concerns about staffing. I don't know if that means that Virginia was demanding that he keep certain people on the staff or not. Not privy to that either, but that and some other things that I've heard that I'm not going to repeat because I can't confirm them. Apparently were some concerns of Poindexter that he felt like his program needed to be able to compete and to recruit. Some of them maybe involving NIL issues, which I don't even know if Virginia has a policy for NIL for a football team. I haven't seen a single football player sign an NIL contract to this point. I would think that would be a concern to any coach coming in because you're going to be competing against schools that do have NIL contracts for football players. I can't confirm that, but I heard that might have been one of the sticking points. Not the sticking point, but one of them. So anyway, something happened out there Monday night that caused things to just implode. And I saw a text from Anthony today that said timing just wasn't right. Maybe in the future or something like that. But I think a lot of the fans were heartbroken that he's not returning. Personally, I've been accused of lobbying and campaigning for him. And to some degree I was, but I felt like, in my opinion, he was the guy that answered Virginia's problems now and checked the boxes. But, and I'm not speaking for the whole fan base, but I think a great majority of them would have loved to have seen him come back and make Virginia a winner again. But that, apparently, Chris, it was something Monday night that, or some things that blew up. I'm not blaming Dex. I'm not blaming Carl Williams, but something happened and it caused negotiations to fall apart. And now it appears that Tony Elliott from Clemson will be the next coach. Like you said, videos of him and his family deboarding from a plane at Charlottesville Airport. I would expect we'll get some news sometime later tonight or tomorrow. And then he'll be introduced as Virginia's next head football coach.
Looking for a great dining experience in Charlottesville? Look no further than the Aberdeen Barn. The Barn has been family owned and operated since 1965, with Terry and Angela providing great atmosphere and mouth-watering food at Virginia's big time steakhouse. Enjoy the fine dining or relax in the Sportsman's Bar, a fantastic place to wind down and socialize, surrounded by flat-screen televisions tuned to the latest sporting events. You never know who you might bump into at the Aberdeen Barn, where all the greatest Cavaliers have dined over the decades and keep coming back for the delicious menu and good times. Check it out online at aberdeenbarn.com or call 434-296-4630. UVA Orthopedics and Sports Medicine boast one of the finest teams of doctors in the country, and they're right here in Charlottesville to not only provide care for the University of Virginia athletic teams, but also the Charlottesville and Central Virginia communities. UVA Orthopedics has been a proud sponsor of the Jerry Ratcliffe Show for the past 2 years, with numerous team members featured in weekly segments where doctors share great insight into various sports injuries, what causes them, how to treat them, and recovery time. Their team of experts are there for you and offer the best care to solve your health problems and get you back on your feet. Let their team of specialists get you back in the game.
People listening in know that I was on the other side of this story, at least editorially. I was not on board with Dex getting the job. I felt like maybe I would agree with his statement he made today. Maybe timing wasn't right from a resume standpoint. In a couple of years, that might be cleared up. And I hope it is for Anthony. And I hope that, hey, maybe another job will come his way, and Power 5 job or whatever it may be. So, Jerry, you mentioned, I think, earlier that you've been getting kneecapped a bit on the social media and such. What do you want to say to that? I'm sure people are tuning in to want to, you know, maybe hear something about that. I mean, maybe a question first. Did you get too far out ahead of this? Or you had sources on Friday. I mean, they seemed like they were pretty airtight. Did maybe things unfolded differently than the way you expected them to, but it's obviously a shocker to you that things didn't unfold the way you thought they would.
Yeah, I was under the impression that everything had been smoothed out in some numerous lengthy discussions between Anthony and Carla. And again, I think I have good sources. You know who my sources were.
I do. Yeah. You've told me, and we're not going to talk about who they are by name, but
I would never reveal them. But
because if you reveal them, you never get to have them again, and you probably never have another source again if you reveal sources. Yeah.
Yeah, I've been in the business for over 40 years. I've never revealed a source, even though one time I was threatened with my job if I didn't reveal the source, and that was a risk I was willing to take. And
I'll just say for the listeners out there, I mean this. For those who were saying this was just made up out of thin air, I trust Jerry. He told me who the folks were, and it wasn't made up out of thin air. In fact, it wasn't one-sided either. It was multifaceted, let's just say. And that's a way for me to get around giving anything away. So, yeah, I mean, it's reporting. That's what reporting is. People say sources for a reason. You can't give them away, and that's how reporting works in the Western world.
Yeah, I mean, the time that my job was threatened if I didn't reveal my source, and I didn't, never would, never will. The person in question begged me to not reveal it. I said, "You don't have to worry. I've never revealed a source in my career. I never will." He said, "Because if you reveal your source," he says, "I'm going to get fired, and I have a family." And I said, "I understand that, and I would never do that. And I never have. And I can look myself in the mirror knowing that what I reported was to the best of my knowledge from solid sources. And if things blew up Monday night, those things happen in negotiations. This is not the first coaching search that blew up when negotiations came down to signing on the dotted line. We've seen them throughout history and recently as well. So,
what were you hearing, what were you hearing, if anything, about the Tony Elliott side of this story? Because now that he's emerged as the leading candidate, maybe the coach in waiting is, and we're just waiting for news. What had you been hearing about him at all in the days leading up to today?
Not a lot, really. I know he was one of the top candidates at Duke. They have apparently several candidates lined up there. I don't know a lot about him. I know he's I know a lot of people some of the sources I have think he's a good coach. He won the Broyles Award a few years ago, which is the National Association, Coaches Association, I guess, award for the best assistant coaching job done that year when he was on a national championship staff at Clemson. I don't know a lot about him, really. I've never talked to him. Haven't done a ton of research on him. I know that a lot of people like him and that he's a good coach.
I'll tell you, I'll provide some background. I did a piece earlier today when it looked like things may be moving in this direction just to do the research, because I hadn't done research either until about 2 o'clock today. He was the play caller for the last 7 years for Clemson. He was the sole offensive coordinator just the last 2 years. He was co-offensive coordinator for the previous five, but he was the play caller. So for most fans, the play caller is the important part of that aspect. So he had some pretty good offenses there. This year, the offense took a step back. They were ranked 13th in the ACC. His groups before had included Deshaun Watson, Trevor Lawrence, Travis Etienne, guys like that. Six years in the playoffs, two national championships, obviously under Dabo Swinney. Let's see, 1999 walk-on at Clemson. He went from being walk-on to a starter and the team captain at his senior year in 2003. Interesting background, like Anthony, an academic guy as well. In his time at Clemson, he was graduated with a degree in industrial engineering. Actually, his first 2 years out of school, he worked at the Michelin Company before he went into coaching. All of his coaching tenure is in the state of South Carolina. He was at South Carolina State for 3 years, 2 years, and then 3 years at Furman, then went back to Clemson in 2011. So he's been there for 11 years. And then personal background, he was homeless. His mother died when he was 9 and kind of pulled himself up by his bootstraps. So good personal story. He was a walk-on football player who became a captain, and he's got a pretty good coaching pedigree. So a lot to like about the guy that probably, well, until we see a signature on the dotted line, like you said, Jerry, maybe we ought to wait. But if he ends up being Virginia's coach, he sounds like a pretty good hire.
Yeah, I know some people that in the football business who think he's a good coach, a legit coach, and it'll be interesting to see what he can do with Virginia. It's Virginia's not the easiest place to win, and you need a lot of things. You need fan support. You need donor support. You need other things that I felt like that Poindexter checked the boxes on. With Tony, we'll have to see. I don't know how the fan base will react to this. I'm sure some people will be on board and excited. Some others will probably be turned off because it wasn't Poindexter. So I think they wanted one of their own to try to get this program back to where it was in the George Wells days. And I don't know. Who can predict the future? Any coach that gets hired is all – it's almost 50-50. You don't know whether they'll win or fail. There's a lot more guys that fail than succeed in the coaching business. So only time will tell.
Blue Ridge Bank is the proud sponsor of the Jerry Ratcliffe Show and JerryRatcliffe.com. Founded in 1893, Blue Ridge Bank has more than a century of customer-based service, but is forward-thinking and features digital banking free and available 24/7. CEO Brian Plum and his team are strong supporters of UVA Athletic. And check this out. Blue Ridge Bank is home of the $100,000 jackpot drawing to one lucky customer every year. How can you beat that? Banking smarter, simplified. Blue Ridge Bank's mission is strong customer service. Make Blue Ridge Bank your bank today. Visit mybrb.com for more information.
I saw this number and I wish I could quote who had the number. 61% of Power Five football coaching hires are gone in 5 years. That sounds right to me, so I'll quote it. It's not guaranteed. Virginia's last two coaches lasted 6 years. Bronco walked away. He didn't and cited personal reasons. So he wasn't fired. Mike London was fired. Al Groh was fired. He was there 9 years, but he was fired as well. So coaches are usually hired to be fired.
they know that.
It's a high-paying job, high-stress job, high-expectations job.
Oh, no question. These guys – I think one of them said, if if he was paid by the hour, you know, some people were complaining that he was making millions of dollars. He said, if I were being paid by the hour, I wouldn't be getting paid enough. So they've definitely poured themselves into what has almost become a year-round thing now. It used to be a little more seasonal than it is now, but there's never a day off hardly for any coaches in today's athletic world, particularly football, because you got spring practice, you got summer camps, you got recruiting, you got early signing period, you got another signing period, strength and condition in the off season. It's a never ending job, and it's tough to be a football coach.
Yeah, you're getting ready for the bowl now. After the bowl's over, you get ready for spring practice. You're also making sure the kids are going to school, going to strength and conditioning sessions. After spring practice is over, you're making sure that they're finishing their classes, doing strength and conditioning, organizing their unofficial workouts in the summer. Then you're also recruiting. You're recruiting all season. You're all recruiting during the season. You're recruiting in the off season. You're having your camps. Yeah, it's a full-time job.
I have the transfer portal, which has added another layer.
Transfer portal too, right.
Recruiting, and if you lose players, then you've got to find out, figure out a way to replace them. And not on top of the NIL and all that other stuff. So it's I used to want to be a football coach when I was in school and was thinking that would be a nice career path. I'm kind of glad I never went down that road.
This isn't specific to Virginia in football, but I used to work with Fishburne Military School's post-grad basketball program. They had a post-grad basketball program for 7 years, had 60 plus kids go to D1 schools, including one to Virginia, Tevin Jones. What I remember was covering their games. There'd be a lot of college coaches watching their games. There'd be hardly any fans. It'd be mostly college coaches. And I remember one night, Bruce Weber, who I think was at Kansas State, probably still is at Kansas State, was at a game. He came to watch a kid that had already signed with Kansas State. And I asked him after the game, what are you doing here? And he said, well, you know, I was just checking in and I got another game to go to after this one. We have a game in Washington, D.C. tomorrow. They were playing American, I think. And so I thought, okay, that's good. You're here. Well, fast forward a few months, Fishburne was playing a game in a national tournament up in Connecticut. I was up there with. Me and the assistant coaches put the kids to bed at like 10 o'clock, had an 8 o'clock game the next morning. We went and hung out in some bars in New Haven, Connecticut, and watched the end of Oklahoma State, Kansas State. It was about midnight. The game went to overtime. So it was about 12:15 Eastern time when that game was over. The first person I saw in the gym the next morning at 8 o'clock was Bruce Weber.
Wow.
He got on a plane from Oklahoma State and flew to New Haven, Connecticut, and was the first person there, not just to talk to his kid that he already had signed, but to try to find another kid or two at those post-grad tournaments. And I thought to myself, all right, I never will complain again about how much money these guys make.
Yeah. It's some people think that it's out of control, and maybe to some degree it is. But again, that story you just told explains it all. And I'm sure that's not an unusual happening either.
So presuming we have a coach soon, well, we'll have a coach sometime soon, whether it's Tony Elliott or someone else, if that falls through. I wrote something today, Jerry, and I want to get your thoughts on this. What do you think the priorities are for the next coach, whoever it is? The first priority is getting off the ground here.
Well, someone very close to Poindexter asked me that very same question a few days ago. Should he be hired? Apparently this person has some influence on Poindexter, and he was curious as to what you just said. What's the priorities? I didn't even have to think about it. The priority is recruiting. I like Bronco. I like a lot of the people on his staff. I think they're good guys. But I think if you talk to them a couple of years from now, or maybe even now, I think they would admit that one of the things that's held the program back in their 6 years here is that they haven't been able to get a strong foothold in the state of Virginia in terms of recruiting. You just got to have the players. You can't, it's a life. I know Bill Dooley, we used to make fun of him as writers about, he would say this anytime we would ask him about football, and he would say, recruiting is the lifeblood of any college football program. And he was right. And that was a long time ago. And Bear Bryant once told me back when, many years ago, he said, son, you ever seen a jackass win a Kentucky Derby? So these guys know what they're talking about. You got to have the players. It is about the Jimmys and Joes and not the X's and the O's. And that is, no words have ever been uttered any truer than that. And I mean, it's just been sad that there was a really good linebacker from Louisa County, went to Penn State. Really good running back from Fredericksburg that I know Charles McDaniel tried to influence him to stay in state to either Tech or UVA. He went to Penn State. Top running back, I guess, in the country last year from, gosh, was it Hanover? I'm not sure, Hanover or some, Haymarket, somewhere in there. Went to Ohio State. They've had two or three really good players from the state of Virginia. Five-star defensive back from down in the Tidewater, went to Carolina. Best offensive lineman in the country this year, Zach Rice from Lynchburg Liberty Christian Academy, went to Carolina. You can't lose those battles over and over again and pretend to be a team that wants to establish itself at the top of the Coastal Division. You got to win your share of those recruiting battles, and Virginia just hasn't done it. They've had to go out of state, all over the country to find players. And, you know, some of these guys, if they're not playing right away, they're not loyal to you. They're not from the state. They're going to go home and find a place to play. And we've seen that happen recently. So that's the number one priority. No question about it. Hiring the right staff is going to be a big deal. Somehow you've got to find a way to re-energize the fan base. I mean, they didn't have 50,000 people at a game this year, Chris, even the Notre Dame game and the Virginia Tech game. They couldn't sell 50,000 tickets.
We haven't sold out a game since 2008.
Yeah.
So that's three coaches ago.
I don't know what it's going to take to re-energize the fan base. I thought my answer was Poindexter because they were excited about him. The donor base, you got apparently a huge financial campaign drive that appears to be stalled. I'm not privy to that information, but I know COVID had some impact on that, but I think 11-11 record over the last 2 years has had an impact as well. They need to get that building built. George Wells told me several years ago when Bronco first got here that Virginia had the worst facilities, particularly football facilities, in the ACC, not other, just football. Bronco reiterated that. He made that a priority the day he was introduced as Virginia's head football coach, and still the only progress that has been made is they have two grass football practice fields where U-Haul used to sit. So all those are priorities. And it's a huge battle. It's a huge uphill climb for the next coach. I thought Poindexter was the answer to all those problems, and so did a lot of other people. People say I was lobbying for him and stuff. Well, maybe to some degree, but it was in opinionated columns where I thought I was giving my opinion on what's best for Virginia football. I've been doing that for 40 years and nobody ever complained about it until now. So that's now water under the bridge. I just know that anyone who thinks I made up stuff or was trying to do stuff to get hits on my website or to gain followers on Twitter is dead wrong.
Well, let me address that. And then I'll go back to my, my list. And it's the rearranging deck chairs. I'll say that. And then about the money thing though, one, nobody makes a dollar on Twitter except Jack Dorsey, the guy who founded Twitter. Yeah. None of us make a dollar having lots of Twitter followers. So that's bunk. The only people who make money off the Sabre message board is the people who own the Sabre. So we don't, getting our stuff there doesn't work for us either. I can speak for Jerry on this. I do help with the website. I designed the website for Jerry and I help him maintain it a lot. I have access to the numbers. The numbers have been great. No doubt about it. They've been like through the roof great, but you don't get extra dollars if you get great traffic. That's just good stuff for your advertisers. That's all you did, Jerry, the last 5 or 6 days is those advertisers got their messages seen like 50,000 times or whatever, probably higher number than that now. The last several days. Yeah, I'll get the numbers in a second here. So I don't want to misquote myself there. But yeah, you didn't make an extra dollar off of that. So, you know, no. I mean, that's great for the advertisers, not great for Jerry. Hopefully they'll re-up and say, hey, thanks for all that traffic, Jerry. But no, it's not for Twitter followers. It's not for dollars. It's just you're reporting what you're reporting and lots of people are clicking on it. So that's a great thing. But no, it's not for personal. I don't see how you benefited from this in any way, shape, or form.
I would have reported it the same way if I had 100 Twitter followers and nobody read the site. I would still be doing what I've done for more than 40 years, and it's just trying to report it as accurately as I can according to the sources that I have. And again, you know my sources, and they were good.
118,000 clicks on the site the last 7 days, dating back to last Friday, or 6 days dating back to last Friday. So 118,000, roughly. I did the quick math, maybe 119,000, we'll say, if we estimate up. That ain't bad. But still, yeah, it didn't put an extra dollar in your pocket, unfortunately. I say that unfortunately because we this is a business, but I mean, you reported what you reported, and let me go back to my priorities. I just rearranging deck chairs slightly. I put my number one priority as hiring the staff, because to me, hiring the staff then makes it easy to recruit. So recruiting, yes, but hiring the staff, and then recruiting, and actually, I would even say in recruiting, like the first bit of recruiting has got to be done. I know National Signing Day is coming up next Wednesday, so a week from today as we're talking. But you got to re-recruit the kids in your locker room right now. We've already got several in the portal, including some big names, Olu Batimi, Noah Taylor, Bobby Haskins are some big names in the portal, a couple quarterbacks, backup quarterbacks in the portal. We want to prevent the other guys from going there, and we want to pull the guys who've gone in their back. So, again, the coordinators will help with that. Coordinators, position coaches, grad assistants, that will all help with that. And then, yeah, the fan base, energize the fan base, get the donors to open up their checkbooks, get people to come back to games. All that after that is just rearranging the deck chairs. That's where I said that. But for me, getting some really good coordinators, getting some really good position coaches, and that's the start. Re-recruit that offense particularly. And going into the transfer portal ourselves, not just re-recruiting your own group, but going into the transfer portal, we're coming out of a 3-3-5 defense. I don't think that showed it didn't work this year and even last year. The 3-3-5 has not worked for a couple of years for Virginia. But the roster right now, because the recruiting was oriented in that direction in the last 6 years, is a 3-3-5 roster. You're going to need some more D linemen, some more linebackers to be able to go to a 3-4-4-3, whichever your new coordinator on the defensive side wants to go. We've got to find some backers and find some defensive ends. Plus we're losing some guys to graduation. So go out there, raid the transfer portal ourselves, keep our guys out of the transfer portal and then get ready for next season. I really think, Jerry, whoever the coach is going to be, if you can keep your offense intact as much as possible, you're not going to keep everybody. But if you can keep your offense intact as much as possible, upgrade that defense from historically bad to just mediocre. The first year for this new coach could be an 8 or 9 win season if you do things right. If you bring Brandon Armstrong back and that offense does what they did, anything like they did this year, and you play just basic defense, this team can be a success for year one for the new coach. That then in turn feeds into the recruiting and it gets the fans energized. It gets the donors energized. I mean, it feeds off itself. The first year could be really unlike Broncos first year when he was taken over for the dumpster fire that was Mike London, had to go 2-10 lose to Richmond in the first game. This new coach can come out and win some games, and that could be something that we could build on for the future.
Yeah, and the key is, like you said, keeping those offensive players in place. You're going to lose some of them just through graduation, but You also have Lavelle Davis coming back, we assume, who is dynamic. So,
right.
The challenge is going to be trying to put together a defense that can not just get slashed repeatedly and beaten deep on long passes. And whoever the defensive coordinator is going to be, it's going to be a true challenge to do that, because they may have to go to the transfer portal to find to plug some holes. And we don't know. And this freshman class that will be signing next week, we don't know how many really good defensive players there are in that group that can make an impact right off the bat.
There's only 15 names in the list as it is. We weren't even at a full class yet as it was.
Exactly. And, you could lose some of those kids.
You could lose some. And history suggests that even if they stay, even if all 15 stayed, half of them are going to be gone by the end of year one.
Yeah.
Just because of the transition and everything else. So.
Yeah, and the transfer portal. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So
not an easy job, no matter who gets the job. And plus, yeah, you got a deadline. So let's just assume that we have a coach tomorrow. That's 6 days from signing day for the recruiting class. It's also every day, every second that passes is another day, is another second that a kid can enter the transfer portal. We have this awkward situation where there's a bowl game in a couple weeks with exams coming up, with a coach that's going to coach them in that game. This is not an easy situation for anybody, the players, for Bronco and his staff, for the new coaching staff. This is tough all the way around.
Yeah, probably the only break they get, and I'm assuming it's a break, it may not be, for the bowl game, is that SMU is also going through a coaching change. And the last I heard yesterday, they weren't even sure who was going to coach the bowl game.
Right.
Sonny Dykes is gone.
Right.
The new head coach, whose name escapes me, was the offensive coordinator at Miami, and he's brought
Rhett Lashley, right? Yeah.
Rhett Lashley. And I think he's brought in a couple of coaches. They were, SMU AD was thinking about asking some of the old staff who followed Dykes to Texas Tech, no, to TCU, if they would come back and help coach the bowl game. So, they might be in more of a quagmire than Virginia is at this point.
It, hard as it is to believe, yes, they may actually be in a tougher situation than we are. Yeah. But looking forward for Virginia here, yeah, it is what it is. And re-recruiting Brennan Armstrong, I know he's put his name out there for the NFL draft evaluation process. So there's that important aspect for him too. But just making sure that if he doesn't go in the draft, that he's happy and wants to come back. And maybe a coach like Tony Elliott would be impressive to him. You know, I know Tony wouldn't be his coordinator or position coach, but a guy with an offensive background pedigree like he has might be attractive. You got to think he would hire a good coordinator. And, you know, I think you said it earlier, Jerry, I think you did say this earlier, Jason Beck should be a priority for this coach, whoever, if it's Elliott or whoever it is. Heck, Coach TJ, I think he's stepped away for now, but he would be a priority too. He's done a great job with the offensive line. So if there's some staff to stay around, maybe we can get some guys to stay around, find some other guys to fill in the roles and on defense and special teams that were needed kind of go from there. But we don't know anything at this stage. I keep checking my email during this podcast to see if there's any news, and nothing that I've seen as of it's 7:15 as we're talking right now. We're probably getting ready to wrap up here, Jerry, but that being the case, any last thoughts here as we're wrapping up, and I'm sure we'll talk again pretty soon. And I've got to warn people first before I give Jerry his last thoughts here. I have dental surgery tomorrow. And so I'm saying as much as I can say today, because who knows what I'll be able to say tomorrow. I might be mumbling some stuff. I might have to get Crystal to sit in my wife and text things to her or type them up on a screen and have her say them out loud for Jerry if we have another podcast tomorrow to wrap things up or introduce a new coach. So warning there, I'm not going to be my full self tomorrow. If they do make an announcement tomorrow, Jerry, I'm going to look like a squirrel with storing nuts for the winter, because I'm going to have a really big one. My left jaw is going to look like I've got something in there. So anyway, comic relief there as far as that goes. But Jerry, last thoughts now as we're wrapping up this podcast, talking about the news today.
Yeah, we'll excuse you if you drool a couple of times.
I probably will be. Hopefully the nitrous has worn off by then and I don't ask a really dumb question and get thrown out of the press conference. Yeah, exactly.
Just thank you for the ones out there who believe that I did what I said I did. I've been a very ethical journalist my entire career, and not about to stop that now. I appreciate your support. And for those who don't believe that I am on the up and up, then that's fine. You can read someone else. It's fine. Don't blame you. If you don't have any faith in me, go ahead, find somebody else to read. But I appreciate the ones of you who stick by me and believe that my 40 plus years of journalistic ethics are true. And that's about it.
I'll back that up by saying I had to say, Jerry, to someone the other day who didn't like something that I wrote about a UVA sports matter. There are literally billions of other websites on the internet. Change the channel. If you don't like mine, that's okay. That's okay. I have no problem with that. There are other channels you can watch. You can read and get your information from. So, and I'm not offended by that. You're not offended by that. There's plenty of us out there. So, well, we'll have the latest. Check, keep your nose to the grindstone, JerryRatcliffe.com, and also Jerry on Twitter, me and AugustaFreePress.com, and me on Twitter. If there's any news tonight, we'll have it. If there's any news tomorrow, we'll have it. You can just rest assured we're going to have it because we're both attuned to this way too much. So for Jerry Ratcliffe, I am Chris Graham signing off. Everyone have a great evening.
Thank you for listening to the Jerry Ratcliffe Show. Get the latest on the Hoos, basketball, football, and more online at JerryRatcliffe.com or at AugustaFreePress.com.